Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, happy Wednesday, and welcome to another Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily podcast with me, your host, Andy Goldstein. We begin today's podcast with the reaction to the evening's football, where Leeds United smashed Southampton 3-0 in the Premier League and Chelsea beat Atletico in the Champions League.
He draws the shape of a TV, he points to the spot, and spontaneous joy erupts amongst the Chelsea players. It's Atletico Madrid 0, Chelsea 1.
Excellent result for Chelsea, absolutely outstanding. Decent performance. Had it been 0-0, they'd have been disappointed. They didn't capitalise on the amount of possession that they had. But still beware, this is still a very, very dangerous Atletico side. This tie is not over by any means.
It was very important that we are absolutely concentrated over all 96 minutes, that we accept also that it's very hard to create chances. But we did all that, and it was a very good team effort.
What he has done now, Tuchel, has come in and he has changed the shape of the team. Defensively, we're far more solid. We don't look like we're going to concede every single attack. He has revolutionised Callum Hudson-Odoi at right wing-back. He's played in a role that I've never seen him playing before, and I'm guessing he's never even at youth team level. He has got Marcus Alonso back in from the cold. I think the last game he played was West Brom away in a 3-3. Christensen,
no Zuma.
It's difficult to argue that Frank should have kept his job after that. And the new manager's job is to come in and get results. Were Chelsea underperforming under Frank? Yes. Our performances were lousy.
Here is Giroud inside the area. A bit of a mishap. An overhead kick and a wonderful goal for Chelsea.
He's the man for big moments, isn't he? He's been absolutely superb through his career in doing that. And just one chance, half a sniff he had. An absolute worldie of a finish.
It's another goal for the new boy. Rafinha, and Leeds are 3-0 in front. And cruising to victory against Southampton, whose wait for a Premier League win goes on.
This is still the same team that was taking 29 points in the first half of the season. But in the moment, we have some problems with scoring, some problems with injuries, some problems with keeping clean sheets, conceding goals too easy. The players that are coming back after injuries are far away from their level they have normally. So this all affects performance overall, and the Premier League is tough because they show you immediately what weakness you have.
Any doubts about the manager?
There has to be doubts. Look, I like the way he sets his team up, actually. I like the way Southampton play. They pass through the lines, they go through the middle of the park, they keep it, they've got some technically really gifted players, but they've just hit a wretched, wretched run, and they cannot. They're in a tailspin. Losing becomes a habit. Like, you know, go on the field, and once you go a goal down, it's like, can we get ourselves back into this? And that's the problem they've got right now. And they are absolutely looking over their shoulder more than they're looking up.
Mr. Dependable for Leeds United might just have won them the 3 points here. Dallas with a wonderful finish.
Always nice to chip in with a goal, just about getting the 3 points. And that's a big win for us tonight. You know, we were disappointed with not getting anything out of the Wolves game the other night, and we knew this was a huge game for us. You know, we weathered the storm, not really a storm, but in the first half we just couldn't get going our usual selves. You know, it was end to end then, and it really opened up, and that's the way we like to play, you know, and it was a comfortable win for us in the end.
Now, Tiger Woods is having surgery on multiple leg injuries after a car crash in LA. Police say the golfer had to be cut out of the vehicle, which had rolled over after coming off the road. Woods was the only person inside and no other cars were involved. Daryl Osby is the chief of the LA County Fire Department and described how the golfer was removed from the severely damaged vehicle.
The jaws of life are used as part of a package to extricate people that are trapped in vehicles. But it was later determined and brought to the attention that the jaws of life were not used to extricate Tiger Woods. We used a Halligan tool, which is a tool used for prying, and we also used an axe to pry him from the vehicle. He was taken from the vehicle with a collar and backboard for spinal precautions. He was had the proper splints. Because of the nature of the incident being a solar vehicle rollover and the fact that it required an extrication that met trauma center criteria, the nearest trauma center to the area is Harbor UCLA Hospital, where he was transported in serious but stable condition.
And for the latest news on Tiger Woods, please head to TalkSport via the app. Now, the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, has confirmed that fans could be back at elite sporting events from May the 17th, with 10,000 supporters allowed at the biggest venues. The announcement means that the last round of Premier League games will be played in front of fans, but questions are already being raised about the possible impact on the competition's integrity. Simon Jordan believes these worries may need to take a back seat for the good of the game in the future. However, Newcastle United supporter Steve Harmison, Harmy, said it's unfair on teams who haven't been able to have supporters in.
I don't think you'd get that passed in a court of law. So, no, I agree. I think I like them in the stadium, but
no, 30, I get it.
37 games without it, is it fair for that one game?
But with there being no fans, some teams have had advantage at playing away. Like Manchester United, for example, on the road, their record on the road is incredible. At home, it's not. So I think sometimes you get into murky territory, don't you?
But you're also looking at that Newcastle-Fulham game.
That's Craven why,
Cottage.
Isn't it? That's
yeah.
why you're upset. No.
If Newcastle were to advance an argument that was to say that the integrity of the competition, and we're not suggesting they will, the game has been behind the eight ball now for the best part of a year. The notion that this has integrity attached to it and it compromises certain games would be an individual perspective rather than the overall good of the game. The fans themselves, rightly so, and football itself has been screaming out for fans to come back inside stadium. We can't now say that the needs of the individual supersedes the benefit for the masses, which is that Newcastle don't want to have fans, and I'm not suggesting that this is what they're going to say, but they don't want to have fans in that game because it will compromise the integrity of that game and put them at a disadvantage. I'm afraid we want fans back inside stadiums, and how it looks is how it looks. End of.
Now, Spurs cannot possibly keep Jose Mourinho as their manager if he fails to guide the club to silverware this season. Well, that's according to Darren Bent. So, would Julian Nagelsmann be better suited to the role with Spurs rumoured to be linked to the RB Leipzig manager? Well, let's find out a bit more on this with mid-table Mourinho himself, Andy Townsend, a Spurs supporter, German football expert Kevin Hatchard, and, of course, Benty.
If they finish 9th or 10th and don't win a trophy, then what was the point in bringing him in the first place? Because Pochettino was finishing in the top four, got them to a Champions League final, and they sacked him because they felt that he wasn't the right guy to get them over the line to win a trophy. But if you bring in a serial winner, and that's what Jose Mourinho is, he wins trophies all the time. If they finish 9th or 10th outside the top four, so they're not in the Champions League, don't win the Europa, and then don't win any other trophies, then I don't think you can possibly keep him.
I just don't think Jose can operate at his best, at his very best. He can't do it without a team that can take pressure, withstand some pressure, keep clean sheets. Aurier, Davinson Sanchez, Eric Dier, Ben Davis, not good enough to do that. Not good enough to do that by some distance.
I never felt what normally coaches, they feel when the results are bad. Normally, when the results are bad, the coaches are a lonely man. That's what we normally are.
And Liverpool, who hadn't scored a goal in 2021 before today, had scored either side of half-time to take this game away from Tottenham Hotspur.
In this club, in this building, I never felt that. I always felt respected, of course, but I always felt supported. I always felt that everybody is together in the same boat. I feel positive. You know, maybe it can look a bit weird for you, losing so many matches, and you are positive, but yes, I'm positive.
I want him out.
I've listened to his interview now again before this Europa League, and we're bored to tears. And I should think everybody else or the other Spurs fans are listening to what he's rabbiting on about. We're just bored to tears of it. And I can sum him up like the chicken I had on my tray in the oven at the weekend when I was making Sunday roast. Because Jose, he's the big chicken in the middle of the tray with all the potatoes around, which are the players, whereas Pochettino, he was one of the potatoes, and that's why he got everyone working for him. Jose is too dominant. He's a big chicken.
Right. That's weird. Tell you what, Alex, I've heard some, you know, there's been some analogies in there thrown around about why, perhaps, but I've not heard one where Pochettino's been likened to a spud.
Tottenham will put Julian Nagelsmann at the top of their list of targets to replace Jose Mourinho if the Portuguese cannot arrest the club's dismal form.
It certainly wouldn't happen before the end of the season. He's the type of guy that very much likes to stay at a club until the end of the season. And he made Leipzig wait for a whole season before leaving Hoffenheim to go there. So he's very much a man of his word in that sense. I think he's looking at the Premier League. I don't think there's any question about that. No, Chelsea had him on their list as well. And he's understandably very highly rated. He's a very intelligent guy, very good tactically, very good in terms of man management. I mean, he's been in the coaching world as a senior coach since he was 28, and it takes some chutzpah to actually deal with guys who are older than you and tell them what's what. So I've been massively impressed by him. A lot of clubs will look at him. I think if Zinedine Zidane got the push at Real Madrid, I think Real would go back in for him. So it may well be a question that Tottenham have to see who else is going to go for him. I think he's got a difficult position at Leipzig because he wants them to win trophies. He wants to push that team on, but he knows what the financial reality is in terms of FFP, and he knows that Timo Werner's gone, Deo Upamecano's going at the end of the season. It's hard to build a team if your top stars are leaving every summer.
Now, the former Crystal Palace owner Simon Jordan has said that footballers may need to be banned from playing fantasy football after Jack Grealish's absence from Villa's clash with Leicester was leaked on social media before the game at the weekend. And even if footballers don't intend to leak the information, the allegations alone would mean they'd give it up. Here's Simon to spoil the party and tell us more.
It brings the game into an element of disrepute. It brings the idea that if you're in this situation, you've got to be beyond reproach. And if you can't be beyond reproach, then you possibly have no business being there. And I know that they're young boys and they want to play fantasy football. And part of the attraction may be to the fantasy football providers that they've got professional footballers doing it as well. But unfortunately, out comes this sort of stuff. It's likely to compromise the integrity of fantasy football insofar as fantasy football is an important concept.
Yeah.
It is an important concept because it exists and people value it. And so if it's got any breaches in it, they should be marginalised, minimised and ideally eliminated. And if one of them is take professional footballers out of the mix, as draconian as that may be, then we won't have to read this.
Now, in the last podcast, West Ham's Declan Rice told us the Hammers' success this season has been down to their unity on the pitch.
This is the best West Ham team that I've been a part of in the 4 years that I've been in the team. You know, the unity, the love the lads have got for each other.
Well, on Drive, Andy Townsend had a slightly different take on things. He reckons that the players might be enjoying playing without supporters and that the West Ham fans are the most demanding in the league, would you believe?
There's no question. And I've been at West Ham when some of that stuff that was spilling over towards the owners that was getting a little bit out of order and getting a bit nasty and a bit unnecessary. And so that, does that have an effect on players? Well, I don't think players are quaking in their boots at the prospect of playing in front of fans that might be giving the board some stick. Not at all. But it does spill over from the fans. That frustration aimed at the board then starts getting out there on the pitch at some of the players if the results aren't going well. And at the moment, I'm seeing a West Ham team playing with freedom, playing with look like they're enjoying it, look like a real team and a real unit, look like they're well-coached and well-drilled. And congratulations to David and all his staff, because clearly they've got a really nice-looking team. Jesse Lingard coming in has added something to it. Everyone seemingly that's getting involved at West Ham at the minute is making things a little bit better. And you know what? I think there's something in that at the moment, that the fact there aren't there are certain clubs, I think, that miss their supporters, certain clubs that do. I don't think West Ham do.
Exclusive ball-by-ball coverage of the third test between England and India gets underway today from 8 a.m. on TalkSport 2, and Kevin Peterson will be part of the commentary team. His former teammate, Steve Harmy-Harmison, has told Breakfast about the time KP, that's a person, not the nuts, burst into the scene against South Africa. Hold on, isn't he South African? Anyway, it happened back in 2005.
We were in South Africa, Bloemfontein, 25,000 people. When he walks out to bat, everybody turned their back on him. It was a bit like the celebration. Do you know the celebration when everybody turns and jumps up and down?
Yeah.
The whole of South Africa turned their back on Kevin when he walked out to bat.
Wow.
He got 100 and it was hilarious, right? It was hilarious. When he got the 100, he's standing there. He's got his helmet in the air. He's got his daft haircut. He's got his bat in his hand.
He's got his first one-day 100. Absolutely magnificent innings. I think he's enjoying that moment.
And we're going, don't kiss the badge. Don't kiss the badge. Oh, no, he's kissed the badge. He's kissed the three lions. And then all of a sudden, the country even more want to have a go at him. They want to get him even more. And a week later, he went to East London and got one of the best hundreds I've ever seen. He took South Africa apart. And we're thinking, what have we got on our hands here? Mm. And you mentioned 32 hundreds. He's coming to now is brilliant as well.
I mean, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. I'm dumbfounded. Lost with the ball, lost with the bat. He's been hopeless this series.
When we get the real Kevin Peterson to talk and open up, and me and Goffey will do that over the course of the next 5 days, a bit like what you say with Declan Rice. And I hope when he does that, I think you'll hear some things that you've not heard before from Kevin. But
Boy, we're gonna
have some ego in that room. Peterson and Darren Goff on the CM commentary team is going to be priceless.
We came in at a time when there were three chocolate eclairs in front of Darren Goff.
In fact, it's time for me to go, so I might as well have one of them. There's only two left now. So bye-bye, Kevin. Nice to know you.
Well, that's it for another podcast. I think before I go, let me tell you about some live exclusive national radio commentary on TalkSport 2 tonight from 7 p.m. of Brentford against Sheffield Wednesday. And then on TalkSport at 8 p.m. Champions League football, Gladbach. Go on the Gladbackers. They take on Manchester City. That's it. Thanks so much for listening on the TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcast from. I'm back on Andy Goldstein Sports Bar Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. tonight. Taking your calls after those games, although probably not the Brentford Sheffield Wednesday one. Anyway. There will be another one of these Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily podcasts out first thing in the morning, so do what you've got to do to get it. That's right. Do what you've got to do. I don't care. Just do it. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.